Jonah chapter number 4. His name is Jesus. That's why we're here tonight, because of Jesus. You have a problem tonight? His name is Jesus. And He knows what to do. Jonah chapter number 4. We'll read first verse, Jonah chapter number 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and for Your grace. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to come to the house of God one more time to hear the songs of Zion, to worship our Savior that gave His life, laid down His life for our sins. And Lord, we thank You that You're alive and well. And Lord, we thank You we can call upon Your name and come to You in those times of need and when we're needing help from the throne of grace. And Lord, I pray now that You would help and bless the reading of Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for these songs that uplift Your name. And Lord, I pray that everything that's done the rest of the service will bring honor and glory to You. We love You. We bless Your name. Lord, You know the needs of the hour. You know each and every one that's assembled here. It's under the sound of my voice by the way of internet or in the sanctuary. God, I pray that You would help and, Father, You would heal and You would touch. And, Lord, more importantly, Father, You'd sit down among us. You'd hear our hearts. And, Father, let us see You exalted tonight. And I pray, Father, You'd make Yourself known in the service. And we'll thank You for all You do. We love You. We bless You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jonah, the book of Jonah, it's more than just a story that we read to our young children. Jonah, it's more than just a story of a great fish. It's more than just a story of a backslidden preacher. And we see that the book of Jonah, it's about a holy, just God. The book of Jonah, it's about the forgiveness of sin. It's about the sovereignty of God. It's about God giving second chances. Jonah is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just as Jonah was swallowed by that great fish and he was buried under the depths of the sea, Jonah was put forth on dry ground. And we find that the book of Jonah is about none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were wanting Jesus to show them a sign. They were wanting Jesus to prove to them who He said that He was. And our Lord and Savior spoke to them in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. He says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of earth." That was the sign that God gave the Pharisees and gave the scribes. He was saying just as Jonah was buried and just as Jonah, the death of the picture of Jonah and he was buried and rose again, so will I. And we find Jonah is a great preacher. He's a great prophet, a great man of God. And in chapter 1, we find Jonah running from God. In chapter 2, you'll find Jonah, his repentance unto his Lord and Savior. When you come to chapter 3, we'll find Jonah's restoration, how God restores him. And Jonah is once again in the will of God and doing God's will and walking in the path that God wants him to walk. But as we come to chapter 4, we find Jonah is very angry and Jonah is very upset. As we find in Jonah chapter 4, in just these short 11 verses, the word anger is used 4 times. Jonah's angry. He's angry at God. He's displeased with God. And we find that this anger, it ruins Jonah's testimony. It stains his ministry. Jonah's anger, his displeasement of God, it hurts his reputation. You see, if the book of Jonah ends with chapter 3, we would walk away and say, "Wow, what a great man of God Jonah was. Wow, what a great preacher Jonah must have been. A man of God that would only preach 8 simple words and 120,000 people get saved and born again. But we come to chapter 4 and it gives us a different insight to the life and the man, the prophet of Jonah. You see, the problem is no longer with Nineveh. The problem is with Jonah. The problem is no longer with the Gentiles. It's no longer with Nineveh, but it's with the prophet. It's with the man of God. It's with his children. I find it interesting tonight that it seems to me that the Lord has more problems with his children. He has more problems with me and you, those that are saved and those that are born again, than he does with ungodly people. That's what we find in Jonah chapter 4. Jonah is a man that we see a different insight to in this chapter number 4. And the Lord is through with Nineveh. He saved them. He's redeemed them. They've repented. But God is not through with Jonah. And let me add tonight that when Jesus Christ, he saves you from your sins. And when you come to God and you repent of your sins under the conviction of a thrice holy God, God is through with your sins. He forgives you of your sins. He puts that behind them. He washes it from with his blood. He's buried. Those sins are gone. However, he's not through with our walk and our maturity and our growth in him. We find our pastor has been preaching on prayer for many weeks. And perhaps you and I tonight, like Jonah, the reason that we're not maturing, the reason we're not growing in God is the same reason Jonah may not have matured in God. You find Jonah, he only prays 2 times in this entire book. In chapter 2, he's praying because of his affliction, because that great fish had swallowed him. And then we come to chapter number 4, and Jonah's praying because he's pouting. He's mad, and he's upset, and he's displeased with God. But before we begin to throw stones, and before we begin to throw stones at Jonah, I think that Jonah is a picture of you and I tonight. We find Jonah is upset. He's very angry. In verse number 1 of chapter 1, or chapter 4, the Bible says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly." Jonah was displeased with God, and he was displeased with God's hand upon his life and what God had called him to do. And I looked at this word displeased, and it means to tremble. This word displeased, it means to quiver and to shake. The Bible's telling us that Jonah was displeased. He was so upset. He was so displeased with God. He was trembling on the inside. He was shaking on the inside. He was quivering because of his displeasement of God. He was so disturbed of what God had him to do, what God had him to accomplish, and he's quivering on the inside. But the King James Bible doesn't stop there. It says exceedingly. Means large or a great quantity or a huge amount. Jonah was so displeased, he could not control himself, shaking and trembling and quivering because of God and what God had accomplished in his life. But he goes on to tell us that he was also very angry. Jonah, now we find he's angry. It's the word that means to glow. It means a hot, or it means on fire. Not only is Jonah displeased and shaking and trembling and quivering on the inside, now he's hot. He's burning on the inside. He's angry at God. And it seems that Jonah is beside himself. He's really upset. He's angry at God and mad and upset because of what God has called him to do. Something has Jonah really tore up. I mean, something has Jonah so mad and so angry and so displeased. And I wonder tonight, what could be the circumstance that has Jonah so mad and has him so upset and so angry? But before we go any further into the message tonight, let's look at verse number 5. The Bible says, or verse 4, Verse number 4, the Bible says, "Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry?" God is asking Jonah a question. Jonah is trembling, he's quivering, he's glowing, he's hot, he's mad, he's angry. And God asks a question. He said, "Jonah, is it right for you to be angry?" God's always asking a question. We find Him asking questions from Adam. He asked Adam, "Where art thou? Adam, who toldest thou were naked?" And it's not that God wants answers, but God's asking questions for us to reveal our heart to ourselves. And I think God's asking that same question to you and I tonight. What is it that has us so angry? Is it right for us to be so upset? Is it good for you and I tonight to be bitter? So what was it that upset Jonah? What was it that angered Jonah? What was it that displeased him so mightily? Let's go back to chapter 3 and we'll read all 10 verses in chapter 3 of the book of Jonah. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now Nineveh was a exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word of the Lord came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, the least, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." God had just saved 120,000 people from the pauper to the prince, from the least of them to the king. God had sent revival, and numerically it's the greatest revival in the Old Testament. People were saved. People were born again. God spared Nineveh. He did not send his judgment. He used this man, Jonah, to proclaim that God would overthrow Nineveh, but yet they repented of their sin and a great revival had took place. But this displeased Jonah. 120,000 people get saved and Jonah's upset. It upsets me, or it bothers me if I feel like no one responds, or no one listened, or the words of God did not fall on fertile ground. That upsets me, much less 120,000 people getting born again. Yet Jonah is upset, very angry. I put my notes, why was he angry? Why was Jonah upset? What upset Jonah so mightily that he was angry with God, trembling at God, hot inside at God? I see number one, his selfish desires. Verse number 2, the Bible says, "And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country?" Jonah is praying to God, and we see that he's saying, God, did I not say this when I was in my country, he's not only praying to God, but he's grumbling to God. He's complaining to God. And he's saying, Lord, I was in my country. I was among my people. I was in my comfort. And I told you. He's saying, Lord, was this not my saying? Lord, I told you so. Lord, I knew this would happen. Lord, I told you that this would be the outcome. This is not what I wanted. Jonah was telling God, Lord, this is not my desire to come and preach. This was not my desire to come and see an whole city turn to you. God, this is not my desire. I'm not in this situation because I want to be in this situation. I'm not facing what you told me to do, walking a day's journey. They say Nineveh was the largest city at that time in the world, and it was a 3 days journey, meaning it took 3 days to travel through. And as Jonah traveled a day's journey, proclaiming that God would overthrow the city, he was saying, God, I do not want to be in this situation. I think it's safe to say tonight, there's people I'm preaching to, and just like Jonah, you may be mad or upset or bitter or hurt toward God, toward the church, toward the pastor, because of the situation you were in. We find that Jonah is preaching to the very people that had killed his family, that had killed many and slaughtered and captured many of the Jews in the Jewish nation. And now he's upset. He's saying, Lord, you told me to come and preach. I did and I've done as you bid me to do. I told you this was happening. Now 120,000 people saved. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in this situation. And I'm angry and I'm upset. It was his selfish desire. But I see number two, it was his stubborn determination. You see, Jonah was a prophet. And Jonah was a man that was called by God. He was a man that was used by God. And he was commissioned by God. He was preaching God's word. And Jonah had never been wrong before. Jonah was not the associate pastor at Fletcher First Baptist Church. Jonah was a nationally known prophet. The whole nation knew of Jonah. Jonah was known nationally because the words that Jonah spoke came true. Jonah had never been wrong before when he prophesied, when he preached the word of God. The whole nation knew of Jonah. And we find that he's well recognized. His words, his prophecy, his preaching was never wrong. And what Jonah predicted would always come true. Now he's traveling to Nineveh. God tells him to preach 8 words. He's saying, and yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. And we find that Jonah, all has to do now is to sit and watch. God was going to fulfill his preaching. God was going to fulfill this prophecy. In 40 days, God's judgment would fall. In 40 days, the God would overthrow the city. There would be destruction and death. There would be ruin and devastation. But now we find Jonah is wrong. He was stubborn in his determination. We find that the opposite occurred. The repentance came. There was a whole city that repented. There was a whole city that got right with God. You see, Jonah was calling for judgment, but God called for grace. Jonah was calling for destruction, but God called for deliverance. Jonah was calling for lamenting, but God showed his mercy and his love. Jonah was no longer batting 1,000. He was wrong in his prophecy. He was wrong in what he was preached, what he preached. And I think tonight it's safe to say that many of us, just like Jonah, that situation that we're in, that family circumstance that we're in, that the way the job had turned out, or the way our the family circumstance or all the situation has turned out, the storms we're facing, the dark nights we're in, did not turn out like the way we expected. You know, we had it planned out. It's left us like Jonah, angry and upset and mad at God, complaining to God, grumbling to God. It was his stubborn determination. Talking about his stubborn determination, look at verse number 5. Jonah preaches. He proclaims God's word. God sent grace and mercy, a great revival. He begins to pray to God. He's angry. He's upset. He prays to God. And in verse number 5, Jonah's still so stubborn. He says, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. He was so stubborn, even after God sent revival and saved them and spared judgment, he was still saying, I prophesied that they would be overthrown. I knew this was the way it would work out. This is the way I planned it. This is what I was saying. I'm just going to go outside the city for my safety because God's still going to bring judgment. There's many times we've tried it our way. We've done it our way. It was going to work out our way. We panned out our way. We were strong-willed. We were stubborn in our determination. We had our personal, our selfish desires. But like Jonah, for whatever reason, that circumstance did not turn out like the way we thought. And we're left angry and upset with God. The stubborn determination. But I also see he was mad because of God's sovereignty was displayed. Verse number 2. Jonah's still praying to God. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, that the reason I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, and slow to anger, and great kindness, and repentance thee of the evil. Jonah was mad because God's sovereignty was on display. He was mad and upset. He said, I knew. He says in verse number 2, he said, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. That word knew, it means to know. It means to have an understanding. It's the word, Hebrew word, yada, Y-A-D-A. If we know someone, if we our acquaintance with a friend, if we understand this person and their personality, and this person talks and talks and talks, and they keep going on and on and on, we say, yada, yada, yada. That's the word, the Hebrew word, yada. It means I know. Jonah was saying, Lord, I know you are a gracious God. But only also means know, but also has a meaning of intimacy. Jonah had an intimate relationship with his God. He walked with God. He talked with God. He fellowshiped with God. He had an intimate communion, a close relationship, a closer fellowship with God. And it amazes me that what Jonah knew angers him. He knew that God was gracious. He knew that God was merciful. He knew that God was slow to anger. He knew that God was full of great kindness. And that made Jonah angry. You see, he wanted the city to be overthrown, but he knew God was going to send revival. He wanted judgment, but he knew God was going to send grace. Jonah knew that what he was saying and what Jonah wants was not what God wanted, because God's sovereignty would be on display. I wonder tonight, is what we want in our life, what is what God wants for us to have? Jonah wanted to be overthrown, but God wanted something different. Our desires, are they His desires? Are our wants His wants? Jonah wanted to be in his home country. Jonah wanted to be among his people. Jonah wanted to be in his comfort. Or he wanted to be in Tarshish, going to Tarshish. Yet God wanted Jonah to preach grace and love and send a great revival to Nineveh. Perhaps tonight, it hasn't turned out like you expected. It hasn't panned out as you had thought. And you may not be angry as Jonah was angry. You may not be trembling inside, upset, glowing hot. But it may have left you bitter. It may have left you hurt of what you wanted and what God has orchestrated in your life. I'll submit to you tonight, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I think we all can agree tonight, we know the same thing that Jonah knows. We know that Jesus Christ is gracious. We know that Jesus Christ is merciful. We know Jesus Christ is slow to anger, full of loving kindness. We know Jesus Christ is full of great mercies. The Bible tells us it is His mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. He's a merciful God. He's slow to anger tonight. He's full of great kindness. And whether we admit it tonight or whether we don't admit it, His will, His plan, His path, His placement for you and I are much better than our own desires. And my question to you tonight, is it doing you well to be angry? Is it doing you well to be upset for whatever that storm that you may be in, whatever that circumstance or dark night or dark valley, whatever that thing is in your life that has you upset, that has you trembling and quivering, is it doing you well? I see that Jonah's attitude was a fleshly attitude. You see, he was upset. His anger was fleshly. Look at verse number 6 in closing. Jonah's upset. He's anger. He's displeased with God. God asks him a question. Jonah, does it thou well to be angry? And in verse number 6, the Bible says, "And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd." Jonah was happy. He was content. He was pleased over a gourd that gave him a shadow of the day. Yet when someone got saved, a whole city repented, that upset him. And we find that when God prepares a worm, just as He prepared this great fish, in verse number 7, it says, "But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted and wished himself to die and said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.'" Our pastor made mention this morning that many of us, myself included, may need an attitude adjustment. I think that's the picture that we see of Jonah. He's angry. He's displeased with God because the things in his life didn't turn out as he expected. Yet a gourd, something so small and insignificant, made him happy. Is it doing you well tonight to be angry? Is it doing you well tonight to be bitter or upset from the situation that God has you in? Let us stand tonight. "Then said the Lord," verse number 4, "doest thou well to be angry?" I'm going to ask Natalie, Jason, and Misty, if you'll come and sing that song you sung this morning. God has been good. God was good to Jonah. He blessed Jonah. He had shown Jonah grace and mercy. God knew, and Jonah knew, that His sovereignty was right. Yet it was the small things, the circumstances of Jonah's life, that upset him. I think God's been good to all of us. I believe we all can say He's been better to us than we deserve. And what is it in your life that has you so angry? What is it in your life that has you so upset, when we can just look to God for all that He's done for us, how He saved us and redeemed us, and we can know tonight, just as Jonah knew, that He's gracious, that He's good, that He's merciful, that He's slow to anger, and He's full of loving kindness. What is upsetting you? Is it doing you well tonight? Father, we thank you tonight for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray that you'd take these few words and apply them to the hearts of your believers. Lord, I pray that you'd reveal our hearts to us. Lord, we're a needy people. But Father, many times the things we think we need in our life is not what you desire for us. And God, I pray that your will and your path and your way would be accomplished in our lives. And Father, when it is that we can look to you and give you praise for you have been good to us. And forgive us when we complain. Forgive us when we pout and we complain and we're displeased as your man of God Jonah was. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Lord, hear our prayers tonight. We'll thank you, Lord. We'll bless you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. This altar is open. Whatever your need is tonight, you can come pray. You can find him.
Dry troubled eyes. love for the message tonight. And even after all that, God says again, doeth thy will to be angry over the Gordon? Hard-headed, stubborn humanity says, yes. How long, how often does it take God to question for us? How many things does God have to allow in our life to get us anchored? I'm not there yet, but God's working on me. He is you too. Thank God for that message, Brother Gunn. He knew what we needed, and he gave it to you. We appreciate it. Goodness of God. You want to have a word tonight?
Eliana fell yesterday off of a boat and fell about 4 or 5 foot off the ground, and she landed on top of her head. And I just want to praise the Lord that she wasn't hurt any worse than just a big pump knot on her head. You know, she could have gotten, you know, she could not be here right now, but praise the Lord, she's okay. And I just want to thank him and give him the honor and the glory for that. And please remember the little boy that was hurt in the wagon train accident in Maggie Valley this past Friday. That is Kelly's best friend, Angie, her husband, Josh. It's his little boy. And I think he's 10 or 11, and he has a skull fracture. He has lacerations on his head, and he's okay. He's in a lot of pain. They did surgery on him Friday night. Pray for his papa. Still don't know how severe his injuries are. I know he has severe head injuries. He has 2 broken vertebrae in his neck. And I think they're keeping him in a coma, the last I heard, till they can find out exactly what's going on with him. But just remember that family and the family of the young man that lost his life in that accident.
Go home, but then she was taking a shower this morning and passed out and had to take her back to the hospital with various things. So remember that. You don't know exactly what's going on, but God does. Anyone else?
Well, Gunn, I think you had a bullseye painted on me. Not that I'm angry, but Wednesday I was working and I was down. And I've been trying to be completely obedient. Whatever God tells me to do or say, I'm doing. Well, so Wednesday, I'm going along praying for a blessing. You know, I just kept telling God, I need a blessing, God. Well, about 4 o'clock, 4:30, Kathy calls me and says, you know, she'd gone to the doctor. She'd been having some trouble. And they had sent her directly to the ER to get a CAT scan on her abdomen. They had taken x-rays and they said something's wrong. And so I said, well, God, that's not much of a blessing. And he corrected me immediately and he said, the problem is you already had the blessing and you weren't acknowledging it. You already had it. And now you're going to have to deal with this. So anyway, we went to the emergency room. I met her there. She's already there. And they did the CAT scan, everything came back perfectly fine. The doctor said there was nothing, they couldn't find anything. The nurse that examined her said that she was at a level 2, and a level 1 is like a heart attack. And she was at a level 2, but when they got through, there was nothing. So praise the Lord, but don't neglect the blessing you already got.
Amen. That's good, brother. What we need to learn, and he's teaching us, don't question God. Just be thankful, thankful, bear with us as they are. Well,
you
You know, with all this that's been going on with my dad lately and his behavior problems, the Lord's still been answering prayers. And I just want to thank everyone for your prayers, because He is answering. And there was a while there where nobody had a bed for Dad to go to. No nursing homes would take him because of his behavior problems. And the Lord opened the door at the Bryan Center and got him in there. And so I just want to thank you for your prayers. The Lord is answering prayers for him. And so I just want to thank everyone and thank the Lord.
Dear kind, gracious Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we thank you for this day you've given us, dear Lord. Dear Lord, your time of fellowship with your people this evening, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord. Lord, just hearing your word spoken, dear Lord, read out of your word, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord. I pray, God, to lend into the hearts and the minds of your people, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord. Lord, we know, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, that you're still on the throne, God, Lord. Lord, you're not on the throne wringing your hands, dear Heavenly Father, worried about what's going to take place, but God, you've already have it figured out, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord. Lord, you've already got it laid out in the way, dear Lord. If we just simply just trust you, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, put our faith, dear Lord, and our confidence solely in you, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we can walk with a renewance, dear Lord, and joy in this life, dear Lord, even its troubled and sorrows, dear Lord, on every corner and every hand, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray, God, you'll bless your people, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord. Lord, the ones that are struggling in Texas and Louisiana, dear Lord, tonight, dear Lord, you know the needs there, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we know, Lord, they need water and food, dear Heavenly Father, and shelter. But, God, they need your Son, Jesus Christ, dear Lord, more importantly than anything, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, in this nation, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we don't need the renewing of wealth, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, of gold or silver, dear Heavenly Father. But, Lord, we need a renewance in our nation, dear Lord, the fear and reverence of you, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, and the love for your Son, Jesus Christ, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord. Lord, I pray, God, you'll touch every spoken prayer request, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord. Give them comfort, dear Lord. Lord, give them guidance, dear Lord, and assurance, dear Lord, that, Lord, you're still on the throne, God, and you're still healing your people, dear Lord. Lord, and you're still healing your lands, dear Lord, as you see fit, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord. Bless this church, dear Lord. Bless Pastor Roy, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, give them souls for their labor. In Christ's name.